So imagine there is a tree which is small, just growing, and we have put a very tight metal ring around it, like a in a circle. So we have this tree where we have put a metal ring tight around it. Now what happens? The tree continues to grow, but that ring doesn't give. The ring remains tight and the tree has to grow around that. So it'll grow in the bottom wider, it'll grow in the top wider, but that ring will constrict that growth of the tree in that particular region. So also is culture is like a tree. It should not be restricted. You know, people feel that what was said at one time 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago is only valid. What Muhammad said in the 14th century or what Christ said 2,000 years ago or what the Vedas or what Bhagavan Sri Krishna said. Yes, those truths are eternal. But culture needs to grow. If we just rigidly stick to those same ideas that alone is good and nothing else is good, then we are restricting the flow of knowledge. So culture always has to get new ideas in the light of the original truth. We are not saying that what is in the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads is valid. But as the knowledge comes, that same truth can be reinterpreted in a more modern way. And that is what the Bhagavad Gita teaches us, how to reinterpret the knowledge of the Upanishads and the ancient texts, which were thousands of years old, in a modern in a context. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita is so pertinent. And people like Gurudev Swami, Chinmayananda and other acharyas who have given us a modern interpretation of the shlokas so that our knowledge can become wider, not be restricted. Just example, this word yajna. In the Upanishads, in the Puranas, it meant offering in the fire. So in the fire of, where the priest is chanting the mantras, you offer dravya, you offer offerings, you know, whether it's grain or whether it's wood or whether it's, you know, all these havan samagris, all these. But in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has told us that yajna is far wider than that. It's not just offering into the fire, but any kind of offering can become a yajna. As we have been listening for the past 2 or 3 weeks, after telling us about karma, about action, Bhagavan says that even doing charity can be a yajna, because you are offering what you have for the benefit of all others. Yoga, you know, holding on to the higher and doing all your actions with a higher spirit can also become a yajna, where I'm offering my selfishness for the benefit of all. Tapo yajna, the austerities, again, they can be practiced. Austerities can, fasting can be done for physical fitness, or fasting can be done for spiritual growth. And through my spiritual growth, I serve others. Then control of the senses, control of the mind can also become a yajna, because the mind that is running outside or the senses are offered inward. Brahma agnaushu jovati, in the fire of Brahman, in the fire of the Lord within. So all yajnas can become an offering, not only in the fire, but in the totality. That is what we have been listening in the past couple of weeks. And then today we'll talk about what happens as a result of yajna. What is the remnants of yajna? So we'll talk about that in verse number 31. How this yajna will benefit us, or how working with that yajna spirit will benefit all of us. So verse number 31, chapter 4. Yajna shishta amrita bhujaha. Yanti brahma sanatanam.
Yanti brahma sanatanam.
Nayam lokostya yajnasya.
Nayam lokostya yajnasya.
Kutonya kuru sattama.
Kutonya kuru sattama.
So, yajna shishta. Yajna shishta means the remnants of yajna or the prasad of yajna, as we say, what is the remnant. Just as when we go to the temple, the priest gives us prasad, or when you go to the church, you are given a wafer. So what is the remnant or what is the prasad of yajna is amrita, is the nectar. It is very sweet. And one who bhuja, one who eats, or the people who eat the remnants of yajna, or the results of yajna, what happens to them? Yanti Brahma Sanatanam. Yanti, they go to the Brahma Sanatanam, the eternal Brahman, the all-pervading eternal consciousness. They go there. What do they mean by we go there? Is there any place to go? So we'll talk about that. And he says, Na ayam loko asti ayagnyasya. So one who does not practice yajna, who does not do charity, who does not share, who does not live a life of self-control, discipline, does not get the right knowledge, even in this world, asti ayam loko asti, even in this world, to be successful, you have to practice discipline, you have to have the right knowledge. Kuto anya kuru sattama, o kuru sattama, o Arjuna, who is the best among the kurus. As we know, Arjuna belonged to the Kuru dynasty. And the Kuru dynasty had great warriors, great kings, and very wise people. So he says, Arjuna, you are the best of them. Because Arjuna was one of the greatest warriors that had taken birth in the Kuru dynasty, but also he was very wise. He had studied the scriptures. He was a very gentle soul. Even though he was a great warrior, it's very interesting. He was the greatest warrior, but in his heart he was very gentle. He never lifted a bow and against somebody who is good. Always fought for justice, fought for goodness. And only as a last resort, even in this Bhagavad Gita, he tries every way to tell Bhagavan, let us not have this war. Because that was his nature, and so that's why he is called as Guru Sattama. The more you listen to Bhagavad Gita, you of course, Bhagavan ke liye to you have respect, but you also respect the student for whom this knowledge is given, and Arjuna represents all of us. So all of us have to try to be like Arjuna, have genuine curiosity, have straightforwardness, have a gentle heart, and willingness to learn, willingness to listen. So, let us see what some of these words. So, as it says, those who eat the remnants of yajna go to the highest Brahman. But those who don't, do not practice this, neither in this world nor in the other world. What do they mean by other world? What he Bhagavan means is heaven. So, neither in this world they have success nor do they go to the higher worlds. Forget about Brahman. Forget about reaching the highest. So what do we mean by remnants of yajna? So as we have said, when you go to a temple or a church, you get some prasad. Or even when the yajna is done, say there is offering and everybody assembles and there is a great yajna, then at the end, prasad is distributed, and that is, everybody takes it as something very holy. Or it is given from the Lord himself, so it is something blessed by the Lord, and so we eat it with great respect. So obviously, one who eats that prasad with that attitude, his mind will be filled with love, compassion, with the divinity. But in this context, what Bhagavan Sri Krishna is telling us, that what are the remnants of yajnas? So we have said one yajna is offering in the fire, but other yajna is living a life of self-control, or doing charity, or helping others, or doing austerity, dedicating all your actions to the higher, getting the right knowledge. So when all these activities are practiced with the idea of dedication to the Lord, what happens? What is the result of that? The result of that is that my mind becomes purified. My mind gets uplifted. My actions become purer. I develop more self-control. I do not let my mind dictate, but I decide what I'm going to do with my life. How am I going to live my life? How am I going to serve society? So the teachers say that we should do some yajnas constantly every day. The 12 have been listed, but you can pick some. Like every day I should do some reading, swadhyaya and jnana. So every day I should do some reading, every evening, maybe half an hour, pick up the Gurudev's commentary you all have on the Bhagavad Gita, read 2 shlokas or do some jnanam, like we have Swami Ishwarananji coming. So sitting and listening to these Mahatmas is a wonderful opportunity to learn, to grow. But also as I live my life with self-control, then what happens is I get inner strength, balam. That's why Bhagavan says, I am the strength which is without desire and without selfishness and without pride. So that strength that I get is the inner strength of spiritual growth, and then I can overcome any obstacles. So that is the result of this, doing these yajnas. And then what happens? Such an individual reaches Brahma Sanatanam, the eternal Brahman. Because Brahman, or the total consciousness in this universe, is said to be Sanatan. It is said to be eternal. That means God always was. And that's even the Bible says God alone was. And then he decided to create the world. And in 6 days he created the world. And 7 days he rested. So we also worship that one Brahman, but that is neither male nor female. It is the substratum, it is the support of this entire universe. And it's not something that we can see or we can hear, but it is the support, it is the subject. And within us, Brahman is represented as Om. For those who are new, this BMI chart which we use was given to us by Gurudev Swami Chinmayanandaji, and talks about the body, mind and intellect, and that is what I think myself to be, this body, mind and intellect. With the body I perceive the objects, with the mind I feel the emotions, and with the intellect I think the thoughts. So mind is emotion, intellect is the area of thinking. And vasanas are my tendencies which propel me. Good vasanas make me do good actions, bad vasanas make me do bad actions. And Om represents the life principle, the consciousness. But what we say is that there is only one consciousness, one Brahman, which is there in every one of us, which is there in all plants, birds, animals, fish. And it is that Brahman which is the substratum, which is the support. And we all of us came from that Brahman, that consciousness, and we'll all merge back into that. So when I say I reach Brahman, it's not some place to go, but it is to realize that that Brahman is me. And that Brahman is all. Everybody is that. So how do I practice that I am that eternal and everybody is? By realizing that what hurts that person hurts me too. What pains that person pains me too. So if I am do not want to be hurt, I do not want to get pain, then I should make sure that I do not give hurt to others. I do not give pain to others. I see myself in all. That is called Brahma realization or God realization, where I see the oneness. And how can that happen? Only by sincere and disciplined effort. So regular effort, that's why he says, control your mind, control your senses. Does not mean that you don't enjoy life or you don't eat or drink or you don't. But living a life of moderation where I neither too much indulge nor I too much restrict. Like I don't overeat, but then I don't overfast where I make my body weak and make my mind weak. Yeah, some amount of fasting, some amount of self-control is necessary. But extremes, or some people don't sleep at all or others sleep too much. Some people don't work at all, others work too much. That's what Bhagavan tells us in the 6th chapter. So sincere and disciplined life and egocentric activities that are meant for me, myself and I and mine those activities should be reduced. In fact, even the children, the message we have for them is that actions should be performed not with a selfish motive. All actions should be performed with the unselfish motive, and to the extent I can do that, so that my life may become a life of service, my life may become a life of contribution to others. And when a person is practicing these yajnas, you'll find his life is very systematic. Like you go and visit somebody's office, and you see on his desk papers all over scattered. You know, no, if you ask him to find a paper, he can't, because there are files from this week, last month, last year. They're all piling up. Or a lady's purse. You know, you ask her to... how long does it take her to find something? Or a child's backpack. You know, and you tell him, do you have this folder? I don't know. And he takes and spreads the whole thing out. So the point is that a person who lives a disciplined, organized life then knows that how their closet is. How do they keep their room? Do they keep their room clean? Do they keep their life organized? So you cannot practice yajna and live a life which is disorganized. So your life has to be systematic, has to be organized. And I have to practice these yajnas every day. Every day I have to pick, okay, what am I going to do today? How am I? So that's why this list of 12 is very important. Maybe I do pranayam 3 days a week, do some yoga, some pranayam, so my body is healthy. Get the right knowledge, right emotions, so make my body healthy, my emotions healthy, my ideas healthy, make my vasanas pure. So constant effort is to be performed. And why is this knowledge being given to Arjuna? Because he had the wrong understanding. He had the idea that the, you know, killing is wrong. Now that is correct. That killing is a sin. But here Bhagavan is telling him not killing is a sin. So you have to have the right understanding. Because what you are faced with is the evil. And if they continue to rule, the country will be ruined. And we cannot allow them who are dishonest, immoral, unethical people to be the kings, and they have to be removed. Either you remove them with negotiation, if that doesn't work, then you have to confront them. And when we are doing these yajnas, when we are practicing, one has to have an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude to Lord, gratitude to Bhagavan for giving us this knowledge, gratitude to the Guru, who has given us, brought this commentary from the Himalayas, having studied from his guru, Tapovan Maharaj, and not only Swami Chinmayananda, but all the Acharyas, Swami Vivekananda, and Prannathji, and then Jesus, and Buddha, and all these great saints who have given us this knowledge. So constant gratitude, that's what one should get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for giving me another beautiful day. After the shower, how lucky we are. We get running hot water, clean and plenty, and we just take it for granted. You know, people walk 5 miles just to get a pot of water, cold water to bathe. So constantly be thankful to the Lord for giving us this beautiful knowledge. Talking about gratitude, so there was this two men, Mike and Harry. And one day Harry looked very sad. So Mike said, what's wrong? Why are you sad? He said, you know what? My business went bankrupt and I have no money. I don't know how I'm going to feed my children. So Mike said, could have been worse. So Harry says, could have been. After a month, again, Mike meets Harry and Harry looks even more sad. He said, what happened? Why are you so sad? He said, my house burned down and everything is gone. I have nothing. He said, could have been worse. He said, could have been worse. 1 month later, he meets him and Harry's crying. He said, what happened? He said, my wife left me. She went with some other guy. I am all alone. I am lonely. I have no house. I have no business. I have nobody. I am all alone. So Mike says, could have been worse. So now he shakes him. He said, wait a minute. When my business went bankrupt, you said, could have been worse. My house burned down, you said, could have been worse. My wife left me, you said, could have been worse. How could it have been worse? He said, it could have happened to me. So the point is that one should be grateful, you know, for all the blessings that we have received, all this knowledge, and constant gratitude is the way. So when you wake up with gratitude, then what happens is your mind becomes wider, and then you develop, you know, thankfulness, and immediately you'll find your, anytime anybody you thank, your mind automatically gets filled with joy, gets wider. So that's what they say, practice these yajnas and then enjoy life. Like we tell our children, you know, first do your homework. Finish your homework, then you can go out and play, then I'll take you to a movie or I'll take you to the, you know, to the ice cream and all. Until you do that, you can't go anywhere. I remember my mother was so strict. We were never allowed to go out and play without, you know, finishing the homework. I always say that if I didn't have a strict mother, I would have never got anywhere in life. So similarly, if we want to enjoy life, then practice these yajnas. Once you have done that, once you have done the right thing, once you have practice all these self-control and all, then you can enjoy life. Then you can say, okay, it's like I have a project due and I haven't finished the project, but I'm throwing a big party. Then whole weekend, even though the party is going on, I'm thinking, you know what, that project is due on Tuesday and I haven't done anything. And, you know, I'm not able to enjoy life. But if I have done the project, finished, everything is over, I have submitted it on Friday, then I can have a grand party on Saturday, Sunday, invite everybody, have fun. So similarly, we can just close that. Practicing these yajnas, once you have lived a life of self-control and have done what you were expected to do, then you can truly enjoy life. So that's what he says, that person who does this enjoys life here. His life is good. Because why? Because he's living a life of self-control, of service, of right knowledge, of sharing. And then he also, his afterlife is better too. Why? Because he goes to heaven. One who has done good, then his seat is guaranteed in heaven. He doesn't have to worry about what will happen after I die. How will I face? You know, they say, Maili chadar od ke kaise tumhare. How can I, if my life is dirty, how can I face my maker, my creator? So he says, no, if your life is good, then here it will be good. It will be good in heaven. And ultimately, you will reach that highest Brahman. You will reach that highest goal of life, which was attained by all these great Mahatmas, whether it's Tukaram or Mirabai or Buddha or Mahavir or Jesus. The goal that they all reached, you and I can also reach in this life itself. Or even if not in this life, at least we continue the journey and then next life. But the best point is that if I have this knowledge, if Bhagwan himself has given it, I am reading the Bhagavad Gita, then in this life itself, my goal should be self-realization and reaching the highest. So that is what they say, practice these yajnas. But one who does not, then if you do not live a life of self-control, then your life, this life will be miserable too. Sooner or later, if you eat everything, drink everything, and you don't share, and you live selfishly, and you don't care for others, and you hurt others, and you don't get the knowledge, sooner or later you will suffer. You know, this is a land of karma. If I do wrong actions, my life will be bad, my old age will be bad, and next life will definitely be bad. Definitely I won't go to heaven. I'll probably... So that's what Bhagwan says, that one who practices, this life is good and his afterlife is good. One who does not, this life is bad, afterlife is bad, and forget about reaching the highest. So this is a very beautiful shloka which tells us what is the benefit of practicing these yajnas. Then he talks a little more about what exactly these yajnas do, And what is karma? You know, we thought we know what is karma. I used to think the same thing, but after reading this shloka, I was listening to Swami Bodhatmanandaji's commentary. My God, his description of karma is so beautiful. I'll spend quite a bit of time in this shloka. We may not have time to do the third one, but very, very beautiful understanding of karma, at least I got after reading the commentary and listening to the Acharyas.